Nothing but worshipping and being in a place where we can worship and give him thanks. I don't know about you, but the lockdown has done a lot for me. It's kept me in, for one thing. But it's also, I don't know, I just feel so close to the Lord during this time. People kept saying to me, how are you managing lockdown? I said, great. I'm not managing it at all. The Lord's managing it for me. And I've been very much moved in my spirit. I was reading Mark, and I got so taken up with the very last time Jesus really had a talk with his disciples or had any kind of fellowship with them before he went to the cross. I want to read from Matthew's account of it, and it's called Prayer in the Garden. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's John and not Andrew, the other one, it's Peter, James and John. And he said he took them with him a little further into the garden and began to be sorrowful and in deep distress. He said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He went a little further and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. For the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink of it, your will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. This was the last time that Jesus spoke to his disciples or had any kind of communion with them. Remember, they'd had the Passover meal and had it in the upper room. It's called the Last Supper. And he brought in that wonderful thing that we still celebrate. Not a thing, but a wonderful covenant he brought in. The breaking of bread, and I absolutely adore breaking of bread. It's something that I picked up when I was very young in my Christian faith. It continually reminded me of what Jesus had done. They'd had all that, and now he said, let us go out into the garden. And he said to the eight, because there was only 11, if we believe that just the disciples were there, there may have been others, but he said to the eight, you, as they went to the garden, he said, you sit here. And you stay here for a while. But he said to the other, and so he said, while I go over there to pray. And he took with him Peter, James and John, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. I believe this is the first time, except when he prayed over Jerusalem, when he wept over Jerusalem, was the first time they had really found him sorrowful. He said, I feel so sorry. I feel within my spirit. He says, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful in verse 38, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. And if I'd have been there, I would have liked to have thought, I've never seen my Saviour like this before. I've never seen him like in this way. Why is he so sorrowful? And so he asked them to stay and watch with him for a little while. while I go further on and pray. And he goes on and he prays the lovely prayer that as he fell. He says, "Oh my Father," in verse 39, "if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," I'm glad for the nevertheless is in the Bible, "nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Wonderful, complete surrender to the mighty Father, who he said, "I come not to speak of myself. I only come and do those things that the Father asked me to do." He continually, all his life, right the way, the little bit that we knew. I'd love to have been a fly on the wall for those 18 years that we never knew about Jesus, from when he was in the temple confounding the scholars of his day with the knowledge that he had, to when he started out, when he walked down the road and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." I wonder what happened in those 18 years. I wonder how many little toys he'd repaired for somebody's little trolley that had been broken. I wonder how many plowshares he made up for the farmer, because he looked after the carpenter's shop. And we aren't told, in fact, I don't know there's any kind of reference of after the time when Mary and Joseph went back to the temple and found him. There is no reference about Joseph. He could have, Jesus, when he started to move out into ministry, he was the one that actually looked after the family. He was the oldest, which was his right and his privilege. But now we come to this last time he speaks with his disciples. He's had the Passover meal, had a great time. He's introduced them to the we know as breaking of bread. Said, "This is my body which is going to be broken for you. This is my blood which is shed. A new covenant I give you." What a wonderful covenant he gave them. He was talking to them. Then suddenly he goes into the garden. And he becomes very sorrowful, because he knows what's ahead. He knew that the cross was where he was going to go. And he said to those that were on the periphery of the group, "You stay here just at the end of the garden while I go and pray." But he said to the three, those that were close to him, those that he thought he could rely upon, he said to those three, you come a bit further in and watch and pray. He said, stay and watch rather, because I'm sorrowful. My soul is exceeding sorrowful even to death. Can you just imagine just how Jesus was feeling? Because he knew what the cross was going to do. He knew what he was facing. And he said to his disciples, "I feel this way. Stay here and watch with me." That was his last words to them before he went in further into the garden and prayed. And Jesus, after he'd been praying, and the inference is that he prayed for about an hour because of what he said to Peter, he comes back. These he thought were going to watch with him. These he thought he could rely upon. These he thought he could put his trust in. They were fast asleep. And they had not watched with him. And I believe sometimes that happens to us. We say to people, "We will pray." And then because of circumstances, because of weariness perhaps in body, and I know I can fall asleep any time. Get me warm and comfortable and I can drop off. I have settee therapy on a regular basis, because I sit on the settee, do something, and I'm gone. Because sometimes the weariness of my body. But these were young men. These were people that had been with him for 3.5 years. The first time I believe they ever asked them to watch with him. The first time he ever asked them to be with him in what he was going to go through. He comes and finds them asleep. And he says to Peter, especially to Peter, he woke Peter up and he said to Peter, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 40. Found them asleep. And he said to Peter, "What, could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" Have you tried praying for an hour? Sometimes I find it very difficult, because while I'm praying, I get all sorts of thoughts come to my mind. And if I get too comfortable, as I say, I could do what they did. They fell asleep. But let me say to you, Jesus was relying upon them to stand with him. He relying upon them to be with him, to watch with him. And yet they were asleep. And he said, could they not watch with me 1 hour? Then he said these words that I believe had a great inference. If they'd have only obeyed it, it said in 41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Not many hours before, Jesus said, Peter said, I'll not deny you, I'll even die for you. That was his spirit. His spirit said, I will die for you. And that's where he was at that particular moment in time. And we can, in the time of great blessing and great, and in the time of when things are going really well, we can say, yes, we will die for you, Lord. We will die for you. But then in the time when we find that we're on our own, perhaps not quite as vibrant as we'd like to be, suddenly we realise that we can't do what we said we was going to do. Our flesh is weak. And Peter, if he'd have taken these things on board, wonder what would really have happened when you look at what happened to Peter. But Jesus said, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And it goes a second time and he starts to pray, and he said, if this cup cannot be passed away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. We know it couldn't, because if Jesus hadn't gone through that, we'd have had no redemption. The drinking of that cup to its full paid the redemption price that my sin was upon him. Our sins were dealt with there once and for all. The power of sin in our life was broken because Jesus paid the price. Because he went the whole way, all the way, he went right to the end. And he said, not my will but thine. He came back a second time and found them asleep. And he went away, prayed again. And the third time he came and found them asleep. And so he went away and prayed again, exactly the same thing. He wanted one purpose and one aim, what Jesus had. All that he did was that he would do the will of the Father. And in doing that, he paid the price of our redemption. He paid what we should have paid. But because of what he paid, sin's broken. The power of sin is broken. The debt's been paid. As a young boy, I used to go to the pawn shop a lot. Every Friday, I went to the pawn shop, paid the money, got my father's suit. My mother would press it. He'd wear it the weekend. On a Sunday night, she would press it again. On Monday after school, I went to the pawn shop and I got a pound for his suit to pay the rent on Tuesday. So I know what it means to be redeemed. Because on the Friday I redeemed it. Because we got money paid from on the price was that to be paid. But I had to pay more when I was redeeming it than when I first took it in. Because they had a percentage. But Jesus didn't. He paid the whole price. He didn't. Nothing was left to chance. No one could say to Jesus after he went through what he did. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And very often we as followers of the Lord, and I've been in that place as well. We've been in the time of great rejoicing. Been to conference and had wonderful meetings and made promises, and then got back home and after 3 months the promise seems to die down, and I no longer do what I went out to do, or I've been challenged. I remember being challenged by the Lord about leaving Rossington actually, and I said, you must be joking. I said, no way. I've been there 30 years, been looked after the church. And I thought I was indispensable. But no one's indispensable in God. God can bring along people to replace you if he needs you somewhere else. And he moved me on. But it took me 4 months. 4 months to come to the place where I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. But it didn't take Jesus 4 months. He knew right from when he was born when he left heaven's glory, he knew where he was going. He knew what he'd got to do. He knew what was before him. He knew all the things he would have to go through completely. He had foreknowledge of everything that was going to go on in his life. And he came knowing all that. And he said in the garden, he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." If we knew what was before us, if we could see our future, I think we'd be a bit frightened. But what happens is, as we walk with the Lord, as we go on our pilgrimage down here, he gives us the grace we need for each day. He gives us the strength we need for each day. How did we get through that? I've had sepsis 3 times in the last 4 years. I'm here. Because the Lord said thus far and no further. And Jesus said, "Here, I'm willing to go the whole way." Peter and James and John, they went to sleep when he wanted them most. Probably the only time that he wanted his disciples to be doing something for him personally, they failed. And sometimes Jesus wants us to do things for him. And let's be in that place where he was when he said, "Father, according to your will, may it be done." I wonder if Peter had really taken the words of Jesus to heart. He said, "Watch and pray, lest you fall into divers temptation." Now, he'd already been told by Jesus that he would deny him thrice. "For the cock crow twice, you will deny me thrice." But if he just took these words to heart, he would not have been in the courtyard of the high priest. He would have been in the temple praying. So if he had been in the temple praying, he would not have had to go through the temptation, which he failed. Now, we know that Jesus said it would be, but sometimes, you know, God, we can think that we can see things that we'd be going through, but if we get into the place of prayer, we can get into the place where we get close to God, he can change the situation around. He can bring us through. The message we heard on Sunday night really went to my heart. You see, God is not in any way in the business of breaking us. He's in the business of making us. And if we listen, how much these disciples would have learned if they'd have been awake, if they'd have watched what Jesus did, heard what he said, and not knowing what he was going to go through, but heard what he said. And he would have been an example to them as they faced the problems and difficulties of the future. I wonder if they'd have all run away and fled like they did. And they wonder if the two had gone to Emmaus. If they'd have gone and watched and prayed and listened and remembered what Jesus said. But I love the wonderful way in which God just makes up for our faults and our failings. Because it said that when Jesus rose from the dead and he met the disciples in the upper room, he said he opened their understanding. They didn't understand what went off. They didn't understand the cross. Didn't understand the resurrection. Didn't understand what that meant. But suddenly Jesus said he prayed that their understanding would be opened, so they would realize just what Jesus had done. And I believe sometimes we need our understanding opening. Need the Lord to give us better understanding of what he's done. Louise sometimes says things to me and I say to her, "Well, I don't know. I can't answer you that one. I'm not sure. All I know is what the Word of God says, and I trust the Word of God." And that's what we've got to do, I believe. If these disciples had really, Jesus wanted them to be with him during this time of trouble, and they fell asleep. And the Church of Jesus Christ, I'm afraid, from prayer meetings in every church, except for this one, I must admit, for that I've been in, they're the most least attended meetings. They're the meeting that people say, "Well, yeah, but I'm not quite sure. I can't make it. I can't do this and I can't do that." People make excuses for not going to church, for not being in fellowship. But I've always tried to make excuses to be there. You know, I don't make excuses not to be there. I make excuses to be there. And if people say to me, can you, if someone said to me, can you do this on a Tuesday night? I'll say, I'm very sorry, I'm busy Tuesday night. And that's been something that's lived with me all my Christian life. But Jesus was relying on these men to be there to help him. The first time ever in his life, he'd asked them to help him. He'd always helped them. He'd always spoken to them. He'd always talked to them about the future. He always showed to them the way forward. And in his parables, he showed to them the kingdom of heaven and how it works. But this, now he says to them, will you please watch with me? And when he comes and finds them asleep, he says to Peter, could you not watch for me for 1 hour? So it means that Jesus was possibly away an hour praying. And I've had a little booklet years ago. In fact, I've just bought it again on the internet. The Hour That Changed the World. And if you find difficulty in praying, because I used to do, and I still do, because my mind starts to whirl around of things I should be doing. Well, you haven't done this, and I could easily say, yeah, I'll get up and do that. But then I think, well, I'm praying. And I used to have a list, and I went through my list. And I still put people's names down and try and remember them. But let me say to you, if you will watch and pray, you will not fall into temptation. And if Peter had watched and prayed, he'd have been in the temple and not in the courtyards. He would never, I believe, he could have changed what Jesus said in the obedience to the words of Jesus. You want to change your life? Change the way you are? I believe the way to change is to be in the presence of God and also be in the place of prayer. And as we pray and as we seek God, so we will come to the place where we'll say, not my will, but thine is it be done. I once talked about drawing near to God. One of the scripture back in the Old Testament says, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. And I thought that's the wrong way round. When I first read it, not just recently, in the last couple of years, I've got a message ready to preach on it. And it said, and I thought, well, it's the wrong way round, Lord. Surely you draw near to us and you draw us to yourself. And then the Lord just said to me, but I can't. I can't draw near to you until you give me permission. Yeah. And you give me permission to draw near to you when you willingly say, I'm drawing near to God. You've got a free will. You can say no to God. These disciples they could have done one of two things. Watched with Jesus, or what they did, they went to sleep. They succumbed to the earthly part of them, and the spiritual part of them, I'm afraid, went to one side. Let's be those that see the needs of others, see the needs of each other, and be alongside, be there for one another. Let us watch and pray, as Jesus told these to do. And I believe if they had done, there could have been lots of different outcomes to their future until Jesus rose from the dead and showed himself to them. They were frightened. They were scared. They were scattered because of what they did to Jesus. And they were frightened that they would have to go the same way. But Jesus says, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. God is with us. Let's watch and pray. Let's be those that would stand in the gap for others. I don't know, I've just watched a video with Peter the other day, and it was called The War Room. And it was about a lady whose husband was one of the high army ranking men, and his job was to watch, see what the enemy's doing, and then put a counter attack in. And it was called The War Room. And she, after many years, the Lord gave her a war room. It was a prayer closet where she would shut herself in. And in that prayer closet, she would have the things that the enemy's doing and the counter. And she would plot against the enemy in prayer for certain people. And it showed you one person that actually their whole life was changed around because she went into what she called her war room. Let's have a war room where we go into the closet and pray. Let's be there when others are expecting of us. These men let Jesus down, but Jesus never let them down. And Jesus won't let us down. Let's be those that will stand in the gap, and let us be those that will wait. Could you not wait, watch with me for 1 hour? When you think there's 168 hours in a week, one's not a long time. But the enemy will try and make it a long time, because he'll bring everything he can to try and get you not to be in that place of prayer. Jesus was expecting them to be there, and they failed him. But he went on to the cross. It didn't deter him from doing that which the Father, and the reason he went into the garden to seek the Father for. It didn't deter him from going to that way. What it did do, he knew that he was now going to do the will of the Father. But he wanted his three innermost, the inner circle, as it were, of his disciples to be with him in it. They weren't. Let us not fail him. Let's be in the place of prayer, where we'll see him working his purposes out in us, in our church, into our community. Amen.